हरे ही ओ सहनाववतु सहनौभुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके, सो भक्ति संदर्भ अध्याय वन अधिकरण फोर, भक्ति इज सुपीरियर टू ऑल अदर साधनास। सो अनुच्छेद 106 सो इज मेड द पॉइंट ऑफ दैट bhakti is affirmed by not respecting processes which do not take shelter of bhakti. Right? So then in Srila Prabhupada's purport to Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Sri Krishna, when he was personally present at Brajadhama, oh no, here, for material enjoyment, there is no need to approach the demigods. The demigods are but servants of the Lord. As such, they are duty bound to supply necessities of life in the form of water, light, air, etc. One should work hard and worship the Supreme Lord by the fruits of one's hard labor for existence. And that should be the motto of life. One should be careful to execute occupational service with faith in God in the proper way. And that will lead one gradually to progressive march back to Godhead. So Prabhupada's pointed out is that the demigods being servants of the Lord, they're duty bound to supply the necessities. Right? So if, since they're servants of the Lord, if you're worshiping Krishna, they have to provide whatever is, you know, is supposed to be provided. They can't not provide it because you're not worshiping them. You're worshiping their boss. If you're not worshiping Krishna like that, then as representatives of Krishna, as servants of Krishna, then only if you worship them, then they'll reciprocate. But that's because they're taking the position of representing the Lord as his assistants. Right? But when you do that, then you don't get the effect of bhakti. Right? You can say, oh, but I worship with devotion, I should get the effect of bhakti. Is no, because well, then why aren't you worshiping Krishna? They're already servants of Krishna. So worshiping them as representatives of Krishna, like that, then there's no need. So the devotee doesn't need to do that. The karmis, that's what's going on, but they don't know that they're representing the Supreme Lord. They may appreciate it on the platform. They're representing the Supreme Lord on the position of Brahman, you know, or even possibly Paramatma, but not Bhagavan. Because with Bhagavan, then you have the aspect of devotion, you know, actual devotional service. So when they take that up, then it takes on, then it works in the way of you're serving the Lord. Therefore, they as servants take care. Right, so it's there's no need to worship them, and worshiping Krishna, it's about the devotion. They're going to supply what you're going to get anyway, depending not dependent upon the quality of your service. Right, if there's any mistakes in your service, it doesn't mean that they don't provide, because you're worshiping Krishna. That's the perfection. Therefore, they take care. Now, if you're worshiping them, then it's on the quality of that particular worship for them, no mistakes, right? If you're worshiping them as devotees of the Lord, but then that's not necessary, right? Because where why would we go out of their way to worship them when we already have our services and everything that we're doing? There's no need to separately worship, right? So we only will see us in the worship. Then maybe there's respect to, like you see the Shris and Garuda and Hanuman are respected along with Vishwakshena, like that. Or if one's seeing Lord Shiva is there as the servant of Krishna, that he protects the Dham and all that, but it's still in the context of Krishna, and it's only when you're worshiping Krishna that that's going on. Or if you happen to be walking down the street and there's a temple Lord Shiva, then you'll respect him for that, but there's no need to go and do worship and this and that, right? So we see is that it comes down to that bhakti is affirmed by not respecting processes and do not take shelter of bhakti. So as soon as you add in the bhakti, that's where it starts to work. So and with knowledge, like for the devotees, for the karmis, they have to apply the bhakti, but they don't know that it's about serving the Lord and the demigods are their servant. Therefore, they don't get the results of that bhakti in the way of spiritual. They only get results of the particular worship, you know, the karma gyan or upasana that they performed, and in as much as they performed it nicely, and they don't get the actual bhakti element of it. But without the bhakti, it doesn't work. So here it says, so that should be the motto of life. One should work hard and worship the Supreme Lord by the fruits of one's hard labor for existence. Right? So whatever you're doing, you should see you're doing that for Krishna. Either that is directly you're doing something and the results of that are directly going to Krishna, or that you're seeing that you're worshiping, you're doing your occupational duty to get your, you know, maintenance and all that. And by that, then you're able to serve Krishna. And then some of that, when you can also use directly for Krishna. So then that's what's recommended here. And then we see in the next sentence, one should be careful to execute occupational service with faith in God in the proper way. So you have both, it's in faith in Krishna that he's the Lord of all this and his arrangement is there, and in the proper way, right? As recommended by the acharyas, as recommended by Shastra. And so then doing that kind of activity then makes everything go very smoothly. So it's not that you can speculate and make it up. So you can't work on the thing is that, oh, we just chant and so we don't worry about this, but at the same time is then we'll overemphasize places that we have an attachment to and reject those things which we don't. So the niyamagraha means, in other words, in the proper way means according to what the acharyas and Guru Sadhu and Shastra is saying, avoiding niyamagraha. Right? So the weakness comes down as niyamagraha is going to give a problem. You know, so we have one where you reject and by not understanding, so that's just impious. If it's something you're supposed to do and you're not doing it, it's just impious, it's impurity. If you're doing something because it's recommended, but you don't necessarily see it properly in connection with Krishna, then it's pious, but it's still niyamagraha. It's not going to give the result that you say. You say it's because of this you're getting the result. No, it's because of serving Krishna you're getting the result. So we're doing those things as recommended because that's what's recommended to serve Krishna. So what's recommended in scriptures, of the scriptures and how to understand, that's given by the acharyas. That's the hermeneutics. So the point is it's not relative. It's not that you can say, okay, scriptures are, you know, we understand Prabhupada through scriptures. And, you know, in other words, we see Prabhupada through what scriptures say, and we see the scriptures through what Prabhupada says. It's not, we have to be very careful here, because then we can take it is that where things are different in scripture than what Prabhupada says, then Prabhupada gets adjusted. Or things that we don't like in scripture, then we can take what Prabhupada says and use that against there. The point is that the scripture is correct. It's the basis. So they're not equal in this point. As Prabhupada points out, Shastra is more important. It is the evidence. It is the basis. So that's what everything's based on. Now, understanding what the Shastra says, then we see is that the acharyas illuminate how to approach and how to apply and, you know, how we understand and apply that. So it's subtle, but one has to appreciate that there is a difference. Because otherwise, then people are going to misapply these things and use them as they please. But so here is that, no, it's one should be careful to execute occupational duty with faith in Krishna. It's not just mechanical and in the proper way. So that means what's recommended by Guru Sadhu and Shastra. So then avoiding the niyamagraha. So you're having the devotion and doing things properly as recommended, avoiding niyamagraha. You know, in other words, throwing out things that shouldn't be or too much there. That we see was the problem when Jesus came, is that you had basically two groups that were there. The Sadducees and the Pharisees. And so the Sadducees were Niyamagraha to the point of it's all the ritual and how exact the ritual is, that's it. And if you don't take exactly, you know, the exact details like that with no adjustments, you wouldn't get the results. While the Pharisees are, no, we can make these adjustments. We have to be practical and all this and that. But you can see is that they're not necessarily catching the spirit of the Shastra. Like an example is that on Sabbath, you can only walk a certain amount of steps or go a certain distance on Sabbaths. Because the idea is you're supposed to rest, you know, and not do anything. Means you're not supposed to be engaged in all this artha and kama on that day. You're supposed to, you know, use it for resting. And resting means then you're going naturally as a religious person, you're going to spend more time in religious activities. So you can say in kind of in one way, it's like their ecodicy, like that. And so there's that, there's regulations on that. So on the travel. And so then it mentions that, but for water, you can't go just by that distance. You have a little bit farther you can go by water, because with the same amount of effort, you go farther on water, right? I move my hand like that and the boat will go much farther. So it gives you, for the same amount of effort on land, if I go by water, I can go a little further. And also, you don't want to get stuck out in the middle of the lake. You know, you get across and you're within, you know, 10 meters of the other side, but you can't go because it's not quite, and you can't swim. So therefore, you just have to sit in the boat for the rest of the day. No, that gives you that little bit extra so you can get there. It's just a practical thing. So now, so the Sadducees will take it exactly that's what it means. The Pharisees, then they have the ideas, but it's about on being on water, traveling on water. So therefore, if on the camel, I put water bags, I'm traveling on water. So instead of having, you know, being able to travel whatever it is, you know, 1 kilometer, I can travel 1.5 kilometers if I do that. So it's just, it becomes more tricks. It's they found loopholes, but they're very strict with their loopholes. So in other words, once they establish their loopholes, that they've gotten rid of the position that the Pharisees have said, means, you know, the Niyamagraha, then I, or whatever, then I'm left with, now I take my Niyamagraha and make that the Niyamagraha. So now if you see them, they seem to be very ritualistic, but this is a ritualistic position where they've already, in a liberal mood, already made it more simple, and then they make it strict. So both of them are not catching the rule of, means the spirit of the law on why it's given. So that's the whole point here is that he's making is that with faith in Krishna, that it's about Krishna and that, and you see in the context of Krishna. So catching that spirit, what's given in the proper way in relation to how it relates to pure devotional service, then I apply it. So I may sometimes be able, if I have facilities, I can find it, follow it in more strict or traditional sense. And sometimes the situation doesn't accommodate that, so I may simplify. But the point is the principle that is there remains. So this can is appreciated. It's a descending process. If you're using ascending, there'll always be a mistake of too strict or too liberal. So one has to find that balance, and that balance is found in devotional service. Therefore, bhakti is affirmed by not respecting processes which do not take shelter of bhakti. So here it's arguing over the rule. You know, is it varnashram or no varnashram? Like that. But no, it's what does Krishna want? How is it service to Krishna? You have to do your duties for Krishna. How do I know what duties to do? Those ones, you know, those ones that will please Krishna will be the best. So therefore, according to the Varnashram, that's going to be the best. Now, Varnashram, the main point of it is connecting everything to Krishna. And then within that is going to be the principle of what you're connecting to Krishna. So if you're working within education, knowledge, you have to apply it according to the Brahminical standard. If you're working with administration, you have to apply it according to Kshatriya standards. If you're applying economics, you have to apply that according to the Vaishya standards. And if you're applying, you know, just some skilled trades and these kind of techniques, then it's according to the Shudra standard. So Brahminical standard is that studying and teaching is the essential point. So you as the teacher have to get across this knowledge to the students so that they appreciate it and they can learn it, right? So then you have the Shravana Manana Nididhyasana. right? So Shravana, they've heard, you've showed, you remove doubts so that they can therefore apply it, right? I remove doubts in Shravana. Therefore, I apply it. When I apply it, I start to get an understanding. When I analyze it, then I get an understanding. I apply it again. I get further and analyze again. I get further understanding. And this keeps going until I get realization, needed yasana, right? So this is what education is about. It's not for political purposes. It's not about just making your money. It's not about any, you know, control and power. It's just about getting the knowledge, transferring to the next generations. As you know, you teach. How level you've come to, you try to teach others up to that level. Kshatriya, then it has to be how it protects the citizens. Who's under you? Protection. The most important thing is the primary is that their devotional service, that that's going on nicely. And secondary, that they're following their occupational duties in relation with what's recommended in Guru Sadhu and Shastra, avoiding Niyamagraha, right? That you're seeing that you're managing that. So that means that's if you're doing manage it, this is the standard. If you're not doing that, then you can't say that this is your service, right? Guna and karma. So the karma, you can say, I'm managing, but you don't have the guna or the qualifications to manage according to the standard of management, right? In other words, if you're managing, if you can't do it in the context of those who you're working with, that they're being Krishna conscious, how to make them Krishna conscious, bring them forward, and how their occupational duty connects to Krishna, avoiding niyama, you know, as the acharyas have said, avoiding niyamagraha. If you can't do that, you shouldn't be doing that management, not administrative management. You can do management, manage the go down, get all the boxes in place, stack them up. You need these things, take them down, put them in the van, you know, put the other ones in, new stuff comes in, I put it in its place, I keep it records and all that kind of stuff. Okay, that kind you can do because you don't have to deal with people. But if you're dealing with people, then, you know, it has to follow that rule. And you have to, even if you're doing it as an individual, you know, be Krishna conscious. So most people are, to some degree, able to do that. But it's still, those who are above that person have to be able to see that even though they're not working with people in their management, that they're becoming Krishna conscious themselves and working with the material that they're managing in a Krishna conscious way. Right? And then economics, you have to understand is the power of how it has to be done. You're providing things that people require. And by doing that, then you're making your profit. It's not about profit on its own. It's about you're providing necessary things for people's lives. Either by you're growing them yourself, producing them yourself, but in any way, you're making it available. Right? So either you're directly giving to people or you're selling it to people who sell it to people, whatever it is. But it has to be things that people require, people need. You don't make up things they don't need. So if it's something that's going to be convenient that people could use in their day-to-day life as recommended by scripture, that's what's valuable. If you're selling things that aren't recommended, that's then a waste of time. So you still have to follow that. So it's not just anything goes. And you have to pay your taxes, you have to give in charity, and you have to take care of your family, right? So you have to take care of your dependents, you have to, you know, give in charity and pay your taxes. All these things, you do that nicely, you know, then you can say then you're doing the things of Vaishya. But to use Krishna consciousness, oh, we're devotees, so we're doing these things, you know, we're running this business, you know, as devotees and all that, so we don't have to pay any tax, we don't, you know, to the government, we don't have to, you know, nothing has to go into ISKCON because we're devotees like this, at the same time as we're using, it's registered under ISKCON society, you know, like that, so you get the government benefit of no tax, but at the same time, I don't give anything to the society and I have no obligation. That's cheating. That's not following the Vaishya rules, right? So that's sort of the thing. Or if you have a skill in that, so that skill has to be engaged. That means people know how to engage that skill on a greater scale. Then you have to work under someone else who's doing that. And you have to understand what's the principle that they're doing. What is the principle that they're doing? Why is this going on? Why is my skill being utilized? How it's being utilized in Krishna's service? For what purpose? So what goal are we trying to get? One, the primary is pleasing Krishna. Two, the secondary is engages that skill, right? The skill will produce something. So let's say I'm cooking. And so I'm cooking for Krishna. That will be used for a festival or for a daily puja or some, you know, special offering like this. Or I'm cleaning, but I'm making it clean for the temple because Krishna likes the place clean and it's nice for devotees. So I'm cleaning for Krishna and the devotees. So it's not that I can be all aggro and telling people, hey, get up out of the way. We're cleaning Krishna's temple here. You're just a disturbance. No, you have to do it a nice way because you're cleaning the temple for Krishna and the devotees. You have to know who you're cleaning for. But it's not that I'm doing this, and so everything else stops because I'm doing this. You know, so that's there. So we have to see. Someone's taking pictures, right? So why are you taking pictures? So others can appreciate the festival that's going on, right? But that doesn't mean you can disturb the festival to take your pictures, right? You know, you have the photographer standing right in the middle. No one can take darshan because he's taking for the bigger thing because I'm so fabulous and my pictures are so fabulous that I'm the center of attention. Rather than, no, that's why God gave you those big, that lens that you got on your front of the camera this big so you look cool to all the other photographers. Go in the back and take your picture. That's why you go like this. You rotate it and then you can see the deities. So the top ones, the top photographers I've seen, you don't see them. And the guy that's right there making the trap, that guy's a problem. He's a shudra and he's acting like a shudra and thinking he's the center of attention because he's doing what he's doing. And this is not allowed. That's what I was saying, this point of Niyamagra. He takes it, this is so important. I'm taking the picture. Thousands of people will see the picture. Yeah, those thousands of people will flip through their social media, see the picture and go, oh, nice, and flip on. And how much samskar does it create? It may not. It'll be something. They saw, they appreciated, they get, definitely get. But it's like half a second or 1 second, and that's all the samskara. While the devotees who are sitting there that you're disturbing, to them, now they're getting a samskara. Is that, I don't know if I even want to make the trouble to come 2 hours across the city to get to this festival, because this idiot stands in the way and is, empowers himself and is, you know, self-centered on this. And so therefore it creates a problem and pujaris can't do their stuff. This one does their stuff. You know, they're like dentists, you know, everything has to go inside their mouth. So they're doing it. So the picture has to go right up like that, you know, and get right in the way. And then you move the pujaris, get there, stand on the altar, you know, look right in Krishna's mouth, you know, all those kind of things and stuff like that. That's why God made windows and the Czech Republic knows what to do with people and windows when they do that. Right. I think the technical term is called defenestration, right? So the one, that's the whole point, is in the proper way means not what you say is proper, what Guru Sadhu and Shastra says is proper, right? That's what's proper. That's how we define proper. It never starts with us. It always starts with the Shastras. Then it comes down to, you know, the Shastras, based on the Shastras, what the great personalities said, you know, in the Puranas and all the other, you know, all the Agamas and everything like that. Then you have what our Acharyas and the great personalities say, and also just, you know, senior people to us, how we understand that. Then it comes to us with all that in mind. Then I try to apply it myself into this very nicely. So we see is it still has to come back to that devotional service, and we can't get distracted by these rules and regulations that they become more important or less important. No, it's what is the correct amount. That's right, proper way. So then avoiding Niyamagraha, because that's one of the first things that Rupa Goswami mentions in Nectar of Instruction, is about Niyamagraha, how that just is going to make trouble. He says these are the things that destroy bhakti. So we have to see is we can't take it one way or the other. It has to be, what did Prabhupada show? What did he say to do? You know, and then we try to bring ourselves in line with that, right? And then Prabhupada says, and that will lead one gradually on the progressive march back to Godhead. So it's a descending process. Bhakti is the superior. It always has to be in context of that. The secondary supporting is our position, you know, according to the Varnashram and who I am according to my psychophysical nature and how I use that in Krishna's service without getting distracted by my attachments and my conditioning that this is not important or this is too important. What is the importance given by Guru Sadhu and Shastra? Right? So that will lead one gradually back. Otherwise, if you come to the point, oh, I've been doing this for 30 years, why am I not getting? Because something's going wrong. The proper aspect is not done, or faith in Krishna is not there in doing the service. Right? Lord Shri Krishna, when he was personally present in Braja Dham, stopped the worshipping of the demigod Indra and advised the residents of Braja to worship their business and to have faith in God. Worshipping the multi-demigods for material gain is practically a perversity of religion. Right? It's practically because you're doing the technical things, but it's perversity. Instead of being God you're worshipping a demigod who's just the assistant too. Right? Instead of respecting the king and all that, you just go to the different, you know, bureaucrats that are there and just respect and worship them, and all the praise that you give to God, you give to them. And think that that's it's perversity. It's they are representing, but it's you're not understanding what's the actual standard. This sort of religious activity has been condemned in the very beginning of the Bhagavatam as Kaitava Dharma. So this is cheating. There's only one religion in the world to be followed by one and all, and that is the Bhagavat Dharma. Right? It means worshiping God as a person in devotion. Right, with the idea of establishing eternal, a loving relationship with them on the transcendental platform, or the religion which teaches one to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead and no one else. Right, so that's the whole point. Is that aspect of it is the thing, and you see is whatever's going on in the world that's a problem. You know, in the religious elements is this aspect of not in the proper way. They're not seeing the faith in God as the main. Like someone was telling me the other day that they were talking about one religious group when they do talk about it, they don't talk as much about God. They just talk about their religion. You got to follow the religion. They don't talk about God. If you ask about God, of course, they're going to say God is the supreme. But otherwise, they only talk about the religion itself and its practices. So the actual thing is no, it's about devotion to the one supreme Lord. Right, the personality of Godhead, you know. So the point is on the personality of Godhead as opposed to just being the absolute truth, you know. So that aspect, that's the one thing all others, and all others fit into that. Everything fits into that. Even someone's doing on a lower level of karma, jnana, yoga, still if they see how that connects to Krishna and then engage that occupational duty in Krishna's service, then it takes on the qualities of the devotional service and no longer means in the first stage that they see it in connection with, and then with time they see as no, there's a more direct activities I can use. Right? Because that's what's doing. If you say we chant, that's because it's the direct activity. But how does this activity that you're saying we only chant, how does that connect in with the holy name? Because you're connecting the holy, I only chant. Therefore, I don't have to do anything else. Okay, so you're chanting, then I don't have to do any other worship or ritual, but then why are you getting up and going to the refrigerator and getting things to eat and sitting on the couch? How is that being connected? You know, because you're not chanting while you're doing that. You know, how does it support chanting? So when one understands that, one is, you know, taking the remnants of foodstuff offered to Krishna and therefore honoring the foodstuff like that, then it has its connection. So whatever it is, oh, I'm going to work. Why? So I can, you know, so that my family can do devotional service. Okay, that makes the connection. So one has to appreciate that and have faith in God. Then one can do it in the proper way. Otherwise, one may fall prey to niyamagraha. Right? Yeah. Does that make sense? So it's always starting with Krishna, devotion to Krishna and everything there. Then what is our secondary religious activities, how those connect, and to keep them in line as the acharyas say, so we don't get distracted that we take something too far one way or the other, you know, too liberal or too conservative on something, that it's there. It's not a compromise. It's not about, well, there's the liberal stand and then we have, that's how we find the middle. So if you're saying, oh, we follow the middle path, so people are too far to the right, to the left, we find that, that compromise in the middle that they're both happy. That's not the process. The process is the rule already applies in the middle. And you see that rule in the context of how far, you know, to one side they've gone, or the too far, Niyamagraha or Niyamagraha. That you've seen is that they're throwing out the rule, but what is the rule and why? And they're too much into the rule, but not knowing why. You know, or getting the details that aren't so important, right? The principle is there, and these important rules are maybe there, but you're picking the ones that you like and saying everyone's got to do that, and other rules that you don't like, you're not pushing those. So it's not the middle. Compromise is not the middle. Compromise is taking from here and here. It's not the middle. The middle is devotional service. How it connects to devotional service. That's why everything can connect to, because it's devotional service, and then they've gone off the path, and it goes out this way. Yeah? Okay. Then Acharya continues. Vasudevam parityajya. Chajayonyam devam upasate. Sva mataram parityajya swapachim vandate isaha. A person who gives up Vasudeva and worships the Devata is like a person who gives up his mother and worships a low-class woman. Skanda Purana. Right? So that's the thing. He's giving up his own mother, who is that position, and worships a low-caste woman. You know, and that thing, you have that aspect of mother, but your own mother's there, but you're giving that up and worshiping this other. Like that. So you're not necessarily getting all the fineness and everything that's there. So everything's already included in the worship of your mother. Elsewhere it is said, Vasudevam parityajya yonyam devam upasate. Chyaktva mritam sva mudhatma bhunkte hala halam visham. One who gives up Vasudeva and worships someone else is a fool who gives up nectar and enjoys hala hala poison. Right? You know, so basically you don't get more poisonous than hala hala. Right? It's like the essence of, you know, all sin. And I said, it's potency is so powerful. So therefore, he gives up worship of Vasudeva and worship someone else that's just like someone who gives up nectar, you know, that'll give you, much improved life, and you take poison that will kill you. Yes, tu Vishnum parityajya mohad anyam upasate. Sahema rasim ut srijya pamsu rasim jigrikshati. One who gives up Vishnu and out of illusion worships someone else is like a person who gives up a pile of gold and accepts a pile of dust. Mahabharata. So you can see is you can't compare these like that. And so that's going to be the problem, is that that's how much it is. So it has to be about Krishna, devotion to Krishna, and then whatever is our position, we're engaging that in Krishna's service as given by the acharyas. We don't make up our own. Therefore, Satyavrata says, neither the devatas, parents, nor kings, independently or together, can offer mercy that equals even 1/10,000 of yours. Therefore, I wish to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 8:24-49. So here it says the demigods, parents, or kings, independently on their own, or even if all of them got together, all the devatas, your parents, all the kings, they all got together and said, okay, we're going to give you mercy. I will not even, does that can offer equals even 1/10. It doesn't even equal 1/10. So 1/10, I mean 1/10,000. So that's just, you know, a number. You can say whatever the number, but it, technically it's not even a millionth or a billionth, you know. So the point is that one tenth, it's not very good. If I'm going to say, okay, here, here's your opportunity. I'm going to give you 1 cent. You do this, all this activity, you know, the full whatever it takes to do the activity. And I'll give you 1 cent for that activity. Or you can do this activity, you know, and that's, you do this activity for yourself, I'll give you 1 cent. You do the same activity for Krishna, I'll give you 10,000, you know, pounds. Right? So you'd have to be a fool to take the 1 cent. Right? So that's the point. How it goes, because the soul being servant, it's natural you're going to do things for others, not for yourself. So worrying about what benefit I'll get and I'll miss out if I don't worship the demigods or others and this and that, then you know, yeah. Then one should worship Brahma and Shiva as devotees of Vishnu. So even they're being respected, as devotees. Then from Bhagavatam, Brahma, the original Devata, the instructor of bhakti for the world, situated on his lotus, considered how to carry out creation. He could not attain the knowledge by which the universe could be created. Srimad Bhagavatam 295. Right, so he is the instructor of bhakti as a devotee. He's the original Devata. He's an instructor of bhakti to the world, that means to the whole universe. And now he's considering how to do his service, right? Because manana means you consider, contemplate how to apply, you know, into your service. You know, that's the aspect of the Abhideya. But he could not understand. He couldn't attain that knowledge, right? He couldn't get it because he's not the supreme. He's a servant of the Lord. So now if you said the original Devata Brahma is, then that already includes Lord Shiva and everybody else. Right. Thus, Markandeya speaks to Shiva. I request one benediction from you, who are full of all perfection and able to shower down the fulfillment of all desire. I ask to have unfailing devotion for the Supreme Lord and for his devotees, especially you. Srimad Bhagavatam 12:10-34. Right. So Markandeya is saying to Lord Shiva, as a devotee, that he wants to have unfailing devotion for the Supreme Lord and his devotees. And then of that, then he's seeing Shiva as one of his, you know, leading personalities in his spiritual life. So therefore then, and especially then Lord Shiva as his, you know, whatever it is, his, you know, well-wisher or his siksha guru. Okay, then he says, I ask for devotion to you, Twayi, since you are dedicated to the Lord. So he's dedicated to the Lord, so in that way I want to dedicate to the Lord, so he's following. Then another from Srimad Bhagavatam, again. Quote, persons criticize you as a ferocious, violent person, obsessed with the cremation grounds, and engaging in flirting with Uma. Though you are engaged in intense austerity, and your feet are the object of meditation by the best of Atmaramas. Devoid of shame, they do not know your pastimes. Srimad Bhagavatam 8:7-33. Right? Because he's, as it says before, he's dedicated to the Lord. That's the glory. So the Atmaramas know his position on that. And others may appreciate and because they want their material benefit, or they don't appreciate, and so they avoid. And then another verse, quote, O Lord, by association with your dear friend Shiva, we have today attained you, the best remedy for birth and death, which are difficult to cure. Srimad Bhagavatam 4:30-38. Right? So then by association with your dear friend Shiva, who is always absorbed and dedicated to the Lord and pure devotional service, right, as one of the Mahajanas, then we have attained we have attained the Lord, right? So this is prayers to the Lord. So they're basically saying, by the grace of, by the grace of Guru, they've attained Krishna, right? And we know that by the grace of Krishna, one gets Guru, right? If one thinks that Shiva, the devotee, is equal to Vishnu, one does not attain bhakti. It is a sin, and the Vaishnava Tantra has said. So if you think they're the same, equal, then you won't get the benefit of bhakti, because bhakti only works when you apply bhakti as bhakti. When you apply bhakti as something else, you don't get the benefit. Right? So taking that Shiva is equal to Vishnu, then that worship to him, that bhakti to him, even though you're may saying you're worshiping Vishnu, but you think Shiva is the same, you won't get the benefit. You'll only get the results of the karma for the activity performed. One thinks that, and from the Vaishnava Tantra, quote, fools who concentrate their minds and see Vishnu on the same level as other persons do not attain pure bhakti to the Lord. He who sees Vishnu to be equal to Brahma and Shiva is eternally a Pashandi. Right, is a offender. Eternally. Oh, certainly. It says certainly, not eternally. Where did I get it? Eternally. Oh, because the E there, man. Eat. Oh my God. E, then skip the C, go to E. Skip the R, go to the T. Then go back, get the ER from that. Then get the A in the next one. And then skip the IN and then the LY. That's wild. Okay. Eternally a Pashandi. Yeah. Not good. Not good to be a Pashandi. Okay, so in other words, you're seeing them as devotees, but that means that you're worshiping as devotees to get devotional service. If you're worshiping to get some material benefit, why you're doing that? Because they can only get it from Krishna, so worship Krishna. You know, in other words, if you're asking demigods for pure devotional service, that's fine. Charya continues, the statements explaining non-difference with Vishnu are for Shanta Bhakti Jnanis. For instance, Shiva states in the story of Markandeya, quote, the inhabitants, these are from Bhagavatam, quote, the inhabitants, the ruling devatas of all planets, Brahma, the Supreme Lord, and I, glorify, worship, and assist the saintly Brahmins, who are peaceful, free of material attachment, compassionate to all living beings, purely devoted to us, devoid of hatred, and endowed with equal vision. These devotees do not differentiate between Vishnu, Brahma, and me, nor do they differentiate between themselves and other living beings. But surpassing that conception, we worship you pure Vaishnavas. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.10, 20-22. Right? Right, so they're seeing on this platform, they like Shanta Bhakta Jnanis. Right? So it's not, it's that element of the Shanta Ras with the devotion, but they still primarily Gyan. Like if you have Bhakti Misra Gyana and Gyana Misra Bhakti, right? There's still, you have the elements of the Gyana, you have the elements of the Bhakti, but the problem is it's not pure Bhakti that is using Gyana as a secondary supportive element. It's that you want the benefits of the Gyan, because if I'm simply serving Krishna from my position and I become with knowledge detached from material engagement, therefore I'm not performing actions of karma. So, on that platform, knowledge and renunciation, I'm using that position as a secondary platform for worshiping or expressing my primary devotion, pure devotion for the Lord. It means, with that intent, I may not have that pure devotion, but that's my intent. So then that's just called a devotional service, right? Now, if I want some benefit from it, you know, the jnana, you know, I'm attached to, you know, no problems, the mode of goodness, no problems in the material world, you know, I'm just overwhelmed with all these things, then that will be the jnana misra bhakti. It's still about bhakti, and it's still ultimately in pursuit of the pure bhakti, but I'm quite comfortable with getting the benefits of the jnana, you know, focusing on that rather than just seeing I perform pure bhakti, whatever needs to be taken care of, Krishna will take care. At this point, I'm being harassed by material nature. That's what Krishna wants. At other times, I'm not. And that makes what Krishna wants. But I just want to serve Krishna, right? So then you have, right, those two. Now, when you get into bhakti misra jnana, then you're going to have that in that, it's about the jnana and the liberation and all that, but that element of bhakti may be there for whatever, you know, principle is, however long it takes to be situated on that platform, or one may consist it, but it's about the liberation, you know, and then here is the Shanta Bhakti, Bhakta Jnana, Shanta Bhakti Jnanis. So then, there's going to be that element of the jnana will be the situation, and that's the prominent thing, and you prefer being in that situation rather than it's just directly about the serving the Lord, because you see he mentions about the pure devotees. Surpassing them, Tat, we worship you, Markandeya and others who are pure Vaishnavas, right? So we go beyond them. So that we can see here is that the Shanta Bhakti Jnanis is looked at from that point of these great sages and saints and all that. And as like they said here, that means they peaceful, free of material attachment, compassionate to all living beings, purely devoted to us, devoid of hatred and endowed with equal vision. These devotees do not differentiate between you, Vishnu, between Vishnu, Brahma, and me, nor do they differentiate between themselves and other living beings, right? They see all equal. But surpassing that conception, we worship you, pure Vaishnavas. Right? So they go beyond that to the pure Vaishnavas who then, you know, they may respect all, but they see it all, where the emphasis is. So if the emphasis is on the pure bhakti or attaining the pure bhakti, then these other platforms aren't so important. It just doesn't matter how much, in this case, how much jnana is mixed or not, whether it's just being used as a platform or whether there's a mix. Using it as a platform doesn't mean it's a mix, right? It just means that that's what's favorable for expressing their bhakti in the situation they're in. Mix means you want the benefits of it. So it's just a matter how far out it goes. So they're saying is that, you know, we go beyond that. So seeing when you see them all in context of devotion, so explaining non-differences for those who see everything the same, but they're working on that platform that's all on the spiritual platform, and they see all living entities and everything connected to the Lord. In other words, they're basically seeing the universal form, how it all connects to the Lord, and that's how they're seeing, and then Brahma and Vishnu and Shiva, that means they're all seeing how they connect, that they're all various aspects of the Lord in his, I'm the controller, I'm the creator, maintainer, and destroyer. So these features like that, they're seeing on that platform. When that comes across to an actual, you know, pure devotee, Shanta Bhakta, then that's just, he sees Bhagavan, he's doing all that. So it's always come back to this. Here they're not quite going to that point. They're just seeing all together, but it's all transcendental, and it's all connected to the Lord in that, and they don't make so much distinction. So the less distinction they make, that level of Shanta then will be lower than those who don't make the distinction between all the features manifest, but it's all about Bhagavan. Yes, Pandavaji.
Maharaj, can we say that this is their individuality? This is their identity, but not their individuality in this sense.
Individuality. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Or they're applying their individuality to this identity rather than simply we're servants of the Lord. You know, that they're great saintly Brahmins, that they're, you know, on this path, you know, Shanta Bhakti Jnani. So, in other words, as it's a progressive path, you're going to have those who are the Shantas, or not say the Shantas, but just the sages that are on the jnanis, and if they're properly situated, they're proper brahmavadis, they're very saintly personalities. And so because of that brahminical platform, and you could say it's the pinnacle of the brahminical platform before getting to actual devotional service, then they're going to be the best of those in the material world of all Brahmins. So therefore it says, the ruling devas of all the planets, Brahma, the Supreme Lord, and I glorify, worship, and assist the saintly Brahmins. So they're always going to be favorable towards them because the material world's geared to follow the laws of Krishna to go back to Godhead. So at least they're following the laws and getting to the point they're not involved in the material world, but they haven't quite taken up the actual purpose of the spiritual world. So they're the best amongst those within the cycle of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. And so the material world is naturally going to, you know, through the arrangement of the Lord, you know, with Brahma, Vishnu, and the Devatas, give them all facilities and take care of them because they're the best of everybody who's here. But surpassing that, we go beyond that to that point where it's about the Lord. And so that Shanta position then simply becomes just Shanta Bhaktas. You know, I mean, the platform they're using, the Shanta Bhaktas, is generally that of the jnanis. You know, it's the platform they use. So they're situated more on that platform of sat. You know, and from that, the knowledge, they're looking at the Lord and everything. And so they're seeing from that platform, as opposed to, let's say, those then within the, you know, under the, you know, where they're situated in chit. So, you know, which includes, I mean, it's naturally the chit and Ananda already includes sat, you know, because chit includes sat, you know, and Ananda includes sat, chit, and Ananda. So those situated in the sandini, you know, that's their platform. Then they're going to view from this kind of thing from the Shanta Rasa, right? But it'll be about Krishna. But there's how everything's so wonderful because of its connection to Krishna. When you go to sat and chit, they're going to see it then like that. They're situated, of course, there, but their actual situation where their focus of their consciousness is just in chit. So it's going to be about the interactions with Krishna and to varying degrees having more or less of, you know, this vishramba of how much you're considering Krishna's position, the aspect of his greatness. You know, so that starts to go down. Possession is there, so that greatness goes down a bit, but at the same time, it's depending upon whether it's Dasya, Vatsalya, or Shakya, it's going to have the different kind of positions. Then when it's situated, the position, it's Ladini, then of course, it has the spiritual position, and it has the knowledge and service and all those things that are there. You know, in the chit position or the samvit, but the hladini, now it takes on the thing that's there just about giving that pleasure to Krishna, you know, exclusively, and that's all, you know, and its form then takes on that uniqueness. So that's the adi ras, because it has to be its original, because the original rasa includes all three positions, right? And then when you go down to the positions below the contour, then you're going to get, you know, sat and chit. So those will be the next. And then you're going down to this just thought. And that, then you get the reflection of that in the material world. Right? You know, or you get the secondary elements, the secondary rasas and all these things. Right? So does that make sense? So the pure Vaishnavas are going to be on that higher platform, that it's that prominence is about Bhagavan, and then they may appreciate through the Shanta and that platform of Gyan, like that. Does that make sense? So there's going to be some. That's why you see in the 11th canto when they're talking about the great sages, and then the Shanta Bhaktas, they're gently seen in the same platform, pretty much, and the same field of action. But it's just the Shanta are a little bit, they're farther ahead because they it's all about Bhagavan. Well, the other ones appreciate, but it's more about this sort of greatness and all that. It hasn't quite come to that level, but they themselves could discuss together nicely, because for these kind of Shanta Bhaktas, there's no material attachment. So therefore, you're talking about Vishnu and things like that. There's not a problem for them because for them, it's all Brahman. But then it's within what aspect of Brahman? Is it Brahman, Brahman, Paramatma, Brahman, or Bhagavan, Brahman? That's what you're looking at. And so then it goes up from there. Does that work?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you. I'm not sure because my internet before I asked the question, my internet went down. So I'm not sure. Maybe you have mentioned it, but I just wanted to say I read in Brihat Bhagavatamrita there description of five different kinds of pure devotees, and it starts with Dhyana Bhakta, and the example is Bharata Maharaj.
And then.
And then the next one is Shuddha Bhakta, Ambarish Maharaj. And then the next one is Prema Bhakta, the example is Hanuman. And the next is Prema Para Bhakta, the example are the Pandavas. And the next one, I forgot the term, but it was the Uddhava. And the meaning was painfully immersed in Prema.
means that every moment, and every moment it's some anxiety to be about how to make it nice for Krishna.
Yeah.
Oh, Krishna, that's interesting. Yeah. And Uddhava is the only one that would go and interact with the Vrajavasis.
Yeah, and they're not even mentioned, the Vrajavasis.
Yeah, because they're just beyond that. You know,
yeah.
it's that category. In other words, you see these five, just take that and keep going. You know, that's the Vrajavasis.
Yes.
And then of that, then beyond that's the Gopis. Then beyond that is Radharani's group. Then beyond that is Srimati Radharani. Beyond then going further than that is Srimati Radharani in the mood of separation. You know, so Lord Chaitanya is taking that position. Yeah, so Bharat Maharaj, because he had that aspect of he's a devoted, he knows that, you know, so he's on that liberated platform, but he's seeing all living entities as equal. So then he's seeing the deer as equal, and then he's interacting with the deer, but then we see from that association with the deer and seeing his equal. So his dealing and attachment is different from ours. Oh, so cute, and like that. It's slightly, it's different. But then because of that, he's worried about the deer. He thinks of the deer. He may be thinking about that soul who is in ignorance, who is as a deer, but he sees it as equal. But he's thinking about that form of that soul's taken as the deer. Therefore, he takes the form of a deer. But the principle is, if you think of that form, so think of Krishna. Because it's not that the deer is a great devotee, you know? It's not like that lady, that Mataji in, I think it was a guest. I'm not sure that she had come to the point of starting to actually, with determination, practice Krishna consciousness. But in Mexico City, when Prabhupada did the program there and lecturing, at some point he's talking about remembering Krishna and going back to Godhead. And this lady asked, if we remember you, then will we get the same effect? Right? So Prabhupada said, yes. So then, you know, her point is, I don't know Krishna, I know you. Like we see with Ramanujacharya's assistant, Kuresh. Then he's at Bharadwaj temple, and he's standing, you know, in front of the deity and facing the deity and offering prayers. And Kuresh is standing in front of, you know, either Jai or Vijay, you know, with his back to Jai and Vijay and facing Ramanuja and offering prayers. Ramanujacharya said, you're supposed to face the deity and offer prayers. And he says, I don't know the deity. You know the deity, so I'm facing you. You know, so, you know, these nice examples are given and all that so that we can learn and understand and appreciate. So then, yeah. So Bharat Maharaj's position is not ordinary, right? So one has to appreciate, you know, the position he's falling from. You know, like we mentioned before, is that those devotees going up into the Madhyama platform, but haven't quite had enough on the platform of taste to remove all the interest in the, you know, enjoying the waves of the ocean of devotion. So they may get distracted by the facilities and the respect and everything like that. And they fall from that position. That's not like a neophyte who just is attached to these things. is that they're on that with devotion. So we see Bharat Maharaj is then on the Uttama platform. And then there's that mistake. So we have to get to the point of it's just about Krishna himself. That's where you see it. That's the main switch is when Krishna becomes, it's exclusively about Krishna. So that's the middle stage of Bhav Sadhana. When you attain the perfection in the third stage of the Smarana Dasa, you come to Samadhi. That means it's exclusively about Krishna. Then one can enter and take part in the pastimes. Right? And then get trained to the point where you come to the prema. So you get to take part in the pastimes before prema, but it's at that point of apandas where it's exclusive. So before that, then, you know, we can see is that on the platform, it's ecstasy. You know, so all the symptoms of bhava and all these things are nice things are there. So the absorption is great. But as we see, it's what we're talking about. We're trying to get a little further. Yeah. Is that okay?
Yes, thank you, Maharaj.
Yeah, no, but before we were mainly just going on about the point of Niyamagraha, even though it's about the rules, and you're seeing in context of devotional service, at least as a starting point, it's not where your actual application, your meditation and application is. That you're not judging it in its relationship to Krishna, so your manana is incomplete because you're not saying, how does this please Krishna? So I'm rejecting this, how does that please Krishna? I'm accepting this, how does it please Krishna? We're just taking Shastra says this, and so therefore we do it, or Shastra says this, but we're devotees, we only chant, so we reject this. That's what we were talking. Does that make sense?
Yes, okay, yeah.
So you heard the main point, and then it was just a further reiteration. So, yeah. Oh, it looks like time is up. Okay, so then we'll stop here. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Shri Prabhupada.